Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Has anyone ever said to you, you know, you got to get yourself together? Or have you ever said that to yourself? In New York parlance, we call it get a grip. Just get a grip on yourself. I have said that many times, not only to family members, but more often to myself. You know, you got to get a hold of yourself. Now, we're in good company if you have ever heard someone say that to you, or if you've ever said it to yourself. You're in very good company because Paul says it to the church. He says, put things in order. That's a polite way of saying, get a grip. You have to remember the Corinthian church that he was writing to. This was not an easy group of people. He had established the church. It was going very well, and then something happened, probably over time. People started to have fights, church fights. Now, we've never heard of church fights in the modern era, have we? These are the type of things that happen when people that are not of the same race and are not of the same culture all get together under one banner and they start to have divisions. And the divisions usually are along theological lines, or sometimes it's something as simple as the color of the carpet. But these folks had a rough, rough time because they were in factions. They not only were divided theologically, but they started to have different types of leadership. Some would say, I'm Apollos' camp, I'm Paul's camp, I'm a different camp. And they also had problems with class and culture. Some of the rich looked down on the poor and vice versa. It was a very divided congregation. And Paul had to write to them to try to straighten them out. So he wrote a letter. We have it, 1 Corinthians. And after he wrote it, some of the people said, well, who's Paul that we should listen to him? He might have been our founder, but, you know, he's yesterday's news. So then he had to write again. In fact, we think that 2 Corinthians is the third letter because he talks about a rough letter in between that we don't have. And this man, in chapter 10, he starts to defend himself because of all these accusations that he really is not the leader that we should look up to. Now, by the end of this letter, he's pleading with people to get themselves together. And he says, put things in order. Listen to my appeal. I'm begging you. Live in peace. Agree with one another. The God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. That's the way they greeted with each other. We would do it with the right hand of fellowship or a holy hug. But in those days, they kissed each other in fellowship. And then he tells you how to do it. In all his letters, he always ends with some kind of blessing. But in this particular lesson, he ends with a blessing that you don't see in his other letters. He figures that these poor people need the whole full Monty. They need everything. So when he confers the blessing, he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. He was conferring all the graces and all the resources of heaven for these people. You know, the people who need blessing the most are not the people who have it all together. They're not the people who are always doing the right thing. The people who need blessing the most are the people who sometimes don't do the right thing. And they need all the resources of God at their disposal. You notice that I raise my hands every time service is over, and I say these words that were penned thousands of years ago, because we, the congregation, need all of God. And God is revealed in three ways. He's revealed as grace through Jesus. He's revealed as love through God the Father. And he's revealed as communion through the Holy Spirit. We need all of that in our lives. Got to tell you a story about the Trinity. Now, Trinity means three in one. And in 1991, in the opening of that year, my mother, who was a saint of God and who read the scriptures and who kept in touch with God, we said that when Celia spoke, God listened. She declared to the family that the year 1991 was the year of the Trinity. Now, as a pastor, I looked at her and smirked and said, yeah, Ma, okay. You know, she's getting older. She's losing a few of her marbles. Yeah, it's the year of the Trinity. Does that mean everything's going to work in threes, Mom? And she said, I don't know what it is about this year, but it is the year of the Trinity for this family. And what she meant was that it was a year of special revelation, that God was in some way going to reveal God's self to us in a very different way. And so the year opened, and in January, our family was hit with incredible tragedy. And we had to go through that tragedy, and I realized that through it all, I had the fellowship of the Holy Spirit with us. And that every time I woke up in the morning in terrible grief, that the Lord was with us. At the same time, that month, that first month, opening the year of 1991, a lady in my congregation came to me with a shattered relationship, and she was angry and bereft, and she needed the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and unfortunately, she needed a pastor who was a little more seasoned than I was. I was 36, never married, had no clue. And all I could do was pray. A few months later, in that year, that same year of the Trinity, there was another revelation of God's love. And that came when a young man tripped into my life named Bob Volpe. By that time, I had given up all hope of being married. I figured I'd be single for the rest of my mortal days, and I figured that was fine with me. In fact, I had had a little fund for the future, and that was going to be my wedding fund. And in the beginning of the year, I spent it on a new car because it wasn't going to happen. 3 weeks after I met Bob, he proposed, and 5 months later, we were married. That same year, this woman who had the shattered relationship, a week before my marriage, was her marriage. And then I received a call in the mail, a call to another church. And when I opened up the call, it said, Trinity Moravian Church. Now, don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. I looked up to heaven and said, you think this is funny, don't you? But in that year, what I discovered was that all the graces of God were at my disposal. Forgiveness when I stumbled, grace when I was angry, fellowship when I was in suffering, love when I needed it the most. You see, that's the gift that God gives to each one of his children. And although 1991 was declared from my mother's mouth as the year of the Trinity, I believe that each year is the year of the Trinity for the people of God, the year when God will be revealed in the way you need it. So tomorrow when you wake up and you have to go along your way and you have to get a grip on yourself, remember that you have all the resources of heaven available to you. You have the Father's love, you have the grace of Jesus, and you have the fellowship and power of the Holy Spirit at your disposal. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the power of your grace and spirit which is revealed to us. We thank you that no matter how difficult life is, no matter how hard we've tried to get a grip on ourselves, we know that your grace and your power can sustain us through every circumstance of life. We ask that you would give us that power today as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen.